Discussion with Ajahn Chuchin at Teptharin Hospital, Bangkok, May 2019. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Roti, Sundra, Sarah, John, Nina, and Anne.
I listened and heard when we don't see the danger of kilesa defilements, there will not be the development of the perfections, the parami. So I discussed a little with Sarah about this. We are very forgetful when eating something nice here, some tidbits. We forget we like the loba, but I realized don't change anything. Better to know the loba, that panya depends on panya. And when panya is developed more, it realizes the loba is a condition, is a dhamma, condition dhamma. And at that moment, there is already the perfection of determination, adhitana parami. And it's very useful, maybe, if you could add something to this. It's so helpful.
Is it the rule or the understanding?
Is it a rule or understanding?
A rule? No. Understanding. It all depends on panya. Understanding.
So can anyone know how panya develops?
Anymore.
Because we try to think about parami, but actually it's the understanding of what moment is parami or what moment is kusala. It's not I who think about parami to follow or to practice or to develop. It's not the I, but the understanding of whatever appears. Is there anything understanding at some time or any time? About now.
About this moment, yes. Mm-hmm. Because if we have an idea, I have to develop the perfections again, I itself again, is not useful, not helpful.
So even the understanding of no self, if it's not at the beginning, we will read the Pitaka or the books with the idea of I all the time.
Yeah.
So it's there, like the seed of understanding of no self. And when everyone reads the book or listens to the Dhamma, it's not I. It's the five khandhas here to understand. Not try to understand the word, but at moment of understanding, the seed begin to grow, little by little, in daily life. So the daily life is a proof of how one develops parami, not trying to know whether now it's this moment of developing parami. See, it's more difficult than we think, because there must be the firm understanding of no self, not trying to understand whether how much I have it or whether it is parami or not. But the parami is the way citta develops in a day. Without understanding more and more about what's now, that is the food for parami to begin, but not the parami, because the parami is the understanding of whatever appears in daily life, like now, the moment of begin to understand. It's no one here.
Very useful always to go back to this moment, mm-hmm. and to understand this moment little by little.
Yeah. It's much difficult and deeper than anyone can think about.
It's very difficult to understand what is this moment.
Yeah.
Because we hear about seeing, mm-hmm. and we hear about hearing, but we are confused because all the time we mix it with thinking about what we see, the story,
and, and this is different from understanding.
Yeah.
Understanding doesn't mind with how much I develop or how much I know or understand. So it's so very difficult, because led to understanding itself, to develop. So at the moment of asking oneself, I'm trying to find out whether one has more or less followed me in this life of today. It's just go on. And the moment when there is the understanding that itself, which sees and hears and think about this, it's just like the sin. No matter you think about anyone at any time, or seeing anything, hearing anything, thinking about anything, it's just very natural, I, until Panya develops by itself, hearing, standing, and thinking over and over again by itself. This is very important, because it has to be by Panya itself.
That's why you say it's more difficult than we think, and that's right. Very important to right. Remember.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, nothing can erase the akusala at all, because of avijja and lopa, life continues from life to life, eons life ago. So just understanding, which is very deep, because if there's no hearing at all, like now, no one knows. Only at that stage, just reading and talking about story of realities, instead of that is not the way, because there must be the understanding of no self at any time, hearing and developing understanding from thinking or anything. So it's harder and harder.
And there is still the wish, although we know it's lobha, but there is always the wish that there is more understanding.
It's useless when Panya knows, but when Panya does not arise, it thinks that it has to be that way. But actually, the understanding of no self must be very firm, so that at any time, hearing anything is what we heard from the words of the Buddha, like there is no one. What appears now is only the continuous arising and falling away of just one reality. So how many reality arising and falling away, and how can ignorance can be lessless if there's no hearing and considering by Panya? Before one can know that by Panya, it's by me all the time, unless that level of understanding has developed.
But we always mix realities and thinking about them, and Panya and thinking about Panya, the story.
How many times one learned to understand reality yesterday, today, tomorrow, in this life, see? And how much ignorance and lopa still continue on, making its way, all the time. This is so very difficult, very hard. That's why the Buddha thought about not speak or tell anyone, but since he was developed to be Buddha, then he thought.
And to realize that it is lobha and ignorance, that is really difficult, because we are forgetful and don't notice.
No, it's not the matter of forgetful, but the understanding of ignorance. That is it less today? See, that's why it takes eons and eons and eons of kappa.
If we find ourselves asking, it is less today, that is self-asking and lopa.
Certainly.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's... Right. I understand your question about the difference between thinking of realities, thinking about Panya, mm-hmm. and moments of Panya. They're very different.
That's why we don't leave the Panya to perform its function. No one can do. That's why just listen, and we don't know how Sankhara Khanda develops by then. And more, when there's more understanding, no I to do anything. At that moment, there can be more understanding of what everyone has heard before. And it can be conditioned for samasati at any time, unexpectedly.
So when there's thinking about needing to do, wanting to do, wondering about doing, that is again the self.
And that's why Panya develops to see the itself. It's the self.
Yes.
I wish I cannot know that.
No, it can't.
So it develops that way, little by little.
And all those thoughts, like we mentioned in the car, of having more sati or more understanding or more or less, it's all just all about me. It hinders the path. It's not the development of understanding. It shows a very strong clinging to oneself and to oneself having more sati or more understanding. Useless to think about.
I think it helps to hear over and over how it hinders when it's the self thinking, the self wanting. It hinders. Yeah, it's a hindrance.
And you said on that topic, we mentioned that as soon as it's an idea of having more sati, it's self all the time. And you said you had heard about letting go. When there is sati, there is letting go. So at moments when there's sati, there's no wishing to have anything, it's letting go.
Yes.
It's not my sati.
Because I heard that on the radio, all the time you stressed from the beginning. It is about letting go. All the time it's very useful.
Not myself.
Yeah, it's very useful that you stress that from the beginning, letting go.
Because people used to think that I let it go.
Even that.
But even the letting go is... letting go has to be natural by Panya, not by self-thinking, I'm going to let go.
At the moment of understanding, it's just a little letting go by Panya.
Yeah.
Panya, let it go. As self, no one at all.
Yes, if one would like to let go, or one would like not to wish for more understanding or sati, then it's the opposite again, itself again.
Itself again, yeah. It's the cheating. Self is cheating all the time.
So it's not the object, but at moment of understanding object, it's here which understand. The five khandhas are here, so at that moment of understanding, it's not I, but the sankhara khandha, the panya, and manasikara, and other chetasika are now working their way.
It helps to remember that even where moments, well, most moments, where there is no understanding, it is still only the five khanda, and that there's no self-existing, the only wrong understanding.
No one at moment of understanding, so just listen and understand, because understand is here.
And I guess what I was thinking, there is also no one at moments of not understanding.
Regardless of whether there's understanding or not, there are still only different khandhas arising and falling away by conditions at each moment. So never any self who can do anything or not do anything.
And this is pariyatti. See, when it's time, it conditions the moment of satipatthana. Unexpectedly, But there must be understanding of that object as what one has heard before.
But I think there's a difference between understanding that there's no one, it's only a Dhamma, and just telling oneself,
yes,
is, they're two different things. And the latter is not the development of the path at all.
And at that moment of telling oneself, is thinking.
Because one thinks it's...
So just listen and understand what is heard. And thinking is thinking, not the self at all. So no matter what arises, it's by condition. Until then, there's no self, little by little. No one can make it at all. It has to be pariyatti, very, very confident on pariyatti. And be, whatever it is, that is the sappa, prinya, understand anything. It's not just this or that, but from time to time, little by little.
Sappa, prinya, understanding anything or
now.
I thought the parinyas were only arising in between stages of vipassana jnana.
There are many words.
Many kinds of parinya.
That is another sappa parinya.
What is it? Sappa parinya. Sappa meaning all.
All, yeah.
Parinya, understanding of all.
Understanding of all. Yeah. And what is all?
No.
Any Dhamma?
Now.
Whatever is here.
But then you say now, it's again thinking and wondering what is now.
Mm-hmm.
Ajahn, something you said just a minute ago, Jonathan, you referred to when there's thinking, even thinking about
whatever.
Knowing there is no understanding, it is self-thinking. That until there is understanding, it is only self-thinking. But there are various levels of understanding.
So much.
So much, so deep. Such beginners.
That's why we can see Buddha only from understand the teachings. And his great wisdom is much more than this.
Jonathan, do you remember the distinction you made before we got into this part of the conversation?
I think I made the distinction between some level of understanding that understands that it's just a Dhamma, and telling oneself that there's no self, it's just a Dhamma.
That is so difficult.
Much more than what you think. The more Panya understands, it knows that much more than you think. Very, very deep.
Much more to know. Much more difficult than we realize, because there's much more to know, because the more subtle kinds of ignorance and attachment have to be known. So much more difficult.
So it's very useful to learn more about it. And when I say this, I have loba, I realize.
Because if there's instantly wanting to know this, then
it's
self again.
I tell myself, this is loba, so that is only thinking again. So we are in the trap all the time.
That's the distinction you just made.
But if one realizes, as one is telling oneself, that it's what it is, it's just thinking, one doesn't have to verbalize all the time the different realities. That's not part of the development of the path. Knowing something about the present moment is understanding that arises by conditions. It doesn't have to be vocalized or verbalized or named or have a label at all.
Yeah. And it's not the letting go, because it's you who think about that.
Yeah. I'm still thinking.
Yeah. No letting go.
Not letting go. Yeah. But it can't be on command, letting go.
Who?
They'll be here. It's useful letting go, but we still don't.
But there might be an idea that the development of the path involves identifying all the realities or the possible realities at a given moment. That is what motivates thinking like that. So there's perhaps an underlying idea that it's a good thing to do.
To understand.
Understanding is, of course, a good thing to do.
It's wrong understanding when there's the idea that it's a good thing to catch the letting go or to not wish to have more sati or something, because even at those moments there is the clinging, the idea of self is behind, yeah. Trying to have that understanding or to see it like that.
Yeah, I know for me it's always a matter of, if the conditions are there, it happens. There's an understanding that arises or some insight, or remembering about conditions or remembering about a characteristic of a reality. But it cannot be forced. It arises because the conditions are there for a thought, say, to arise about it or whatever. But this is the thing that I know has always helped me to remember conditions.
And you were talking a bit more the other day about the ringing the bell and the special exercises, and I think you said you would like to talk more about it, about all these strange ideas people have. And it might seem when you talk that they have some understanding, but if they're still interested in going on the special retreats or following these exercises, it seems no beginning to understand anything about Dharma as anatta.
They don't understand the difference between Paramatta Dharma and conventional idea, because they keep on thinking my cold feet and have to have my attention to my cold feet. It is very difficult, of course, to explain all this, the difference between Paramatta Dhamma and conventional ideas, imaginations which are not real. That's really difficult.
So people may call themselves Buddhists, and it may seem, and they may be Buddhist teachers, and it may seem they're very learned because they've studied a lot. But actually, if there's still this idea of practice and following certain exercises, there's not any beginning of understanding the Buddha's teachings at all.
Yes, and they put exercises online, right? About exercises that you have to do for yourself to have more understanding. But no, not helpful.
Wrong.
And I try to explain that. It's not so helpful, those exercises. But they think, oh, but people need it.
That's why the Buddha taught about the right path and the wrong path.
Yeah.
So one may have studied all the teachings, one may have read all the suttas, but if one has the idea of following certain exercises or following rules, as Ajahn mentioned at the beginning, actually it's just the wrong path, taking one further and further away from true Dharma, and more dangerous than not having heard the Buddha's teachings at all.
What always amazes me is that, to me, it's clear, and yet when I try to explain it to others, I'm not terribly good at it, explaining it to others, but when I try to, it seems like they have all kinds of other ideas what the path is, and they miss the correct path, and you explain to them that this is, you start out, you say, okay, this is mental development, okay, and you try to explain what does that mean, and, well, no, Buddhism means being good. I said, yes, that's one aspect. Yes, that's very good. Sila is very important, but there needs to be understanding in order to follow sila. So how is understanding developed? And so, but it's like a, it's, if they have no accumulations for listening to the Dhamma, then it's not going to happen. And they're so, and it's tragic. Well, it's, I know tragic is the right word, but it's sad that so many don't have the accumulations. And yet, we do have many who do have the accumulations. Yet there are so many who just don't. And that's kind of sad. But that's the way it is.
But when there is the understanding of no one at all, it relieves all the trouble. When one understands that there is no one at all.
And that would be the true understanding, Bunya understanding, that there's no one. At the level of Bariyati, understanding that there's no one. Again, I go
is
back.
Is it right?
It's right.
So keep
it's
on.
Right. It's
the right. Understanding.
But I'm going back to the distinction that both you and Jonathan made earlier, which is the true understanding that there's no one, or the thinking that there's no one. So the thinking that there's no one is self-thinking, but the Pariyatti understanding is, I guess I'm asking, how do we know the difference?
Like now, this seeing now is real, it's reality which experiences. When this understanding now about seeing, it is Pariyatti.
Yes.
And this is different from when there's the idea that there is thinking that there should be more understanding of seeing, or there should be more sati now, or I would like to, that's the wishing to have it,
wishing
that's the trying to understand it, or thinking there should be more letting go of the idea of self now.
I see.
That is the opposite.
That's the opposite.
And then, so it's actually, and the extreme version is like when there are ideas of practice, like ringing the bell or going on retreat, because it's all the desire for results.
Right.
But even now, when it's just wishing to have a little more letting go, or wishing to have more sati, then it's
wrong understanding.
It's the wrong
still.
It's the wrong path.
Right. Okay.
So it's obvious in these other examples, but it can be now, any time.
Well, thank you for the obvious examples. It helps.
My question is, you were saying that just to desire a little bit more sati or a little bit understanding, that's wrong. Wrong. What would you say? Wrong practice?
Wrong understanding.
Wrong understanding. So what would be the right attitude then?
The right attitude is the understanding that all dharmas, all conditioned dharmas are anatta, and that seeing arises now by conditions.
Right.
Attachment arises now by conditions, not because anyone would like to have attachment now.
Right.
And in the same way, sati arises by conditions naturally.
Right.
Through the development of understanding.
Yeah,
so when there's the idea of wishing to have more sati, or trying to have more sati, or trying to catch seeing now or hearing now, then actually it's the wrong practice, because it's motivated by the idea of self.
Because you're not being aware of the self, which is wishing at that moment, probably? No?
At the moment when it's any kind of attachment, there's no awareness. So wanting anything, there is no awareness.
Right, correct.
But when it's not just wishing, but behind it, there's the idea that somehow one can make sati arise, it's wrong understanding and the wrong practice.
Right.
That's why the Buddha taught about the right path and the wrong path. And it can be very subtle, just wishing to have more understanding, for example, now, or wishing to understand the reality at this moment. Actually, it's the wrong path.
Right. It's not a matter of attitude either, because an attitude is something that, a position that can be adopted, as it were. So we're talking about different mind states that arise by conditions,
right,
not by taking a position.
I guess an attitude or a position would also imply a self, right?
I think so.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
We cannot think our way to understanding.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
We cannot.
We're talking about understanding being conditioned, or awareness being conditioned to arise by hearing about the way things are and considering what's been heard, hearing a description of what is real at the present moment.
Right.
Because it's the understanding or awareness of what is appearing at the present moment that is important, is the development of the path.
Right. Thank you.
Is it too far to talk about sati or awareness now? Or it's not too far?
You mean too far, Ajahn?
Too far away.
Too far away to talk about awareness now?
We can
talk about it.
We can talk about different levels, different kinds of sati.
So, what is there now? Instead of talking about sati or sipatthana, just what is there now?
If there's no understanding of what is real, what is reality at this moment, then one will just talk about being aware, but no understanding of what awareness can be aware of. Yes. So this is why we have to talk a lot about seeing now, what is seen now, hearing now, what is heard now. Otherwise, we're just talking about awareness, but awareness of what? So life comes down to these different realities, seeing what is seen, hearing what is heard, thinking, attachment, ignorance, and so on. So there has to be more and more understanding of the dharmas in life so that understanding and awareness develop naturally. So first we have to know what there can be awareness of now.
So back to where we were thinking about understanding and sati now.
Why?
It's a hindrance. It hinders.
Does one have very good understanding of sammasati?
No, not yet.
And conditions for the arising of sammasati?
Conditions for the arising
of
sammasati, yes.
Naturally. By conditions.
Right. So thinking a lot about sati now, or sati, where, you know, how, where, when, etc., is again a hindrance to understanding now.
Yes. So when we talk about the reality which appears now, it will bring to be conditions for the arising of sati.
Yes.
Yes, because otherwise, just talking about sati, how, when, where, as you described it, actually it's behind it. It's all the idea of I would like to work it out or have sati or know when it arises. But if there's no understanding of what appears now, seeing now, hearing now, it's just speculating with an idea of self.
Yes, yes.
For example, if there is no clear understanding of seeing right now, can it be object of awareness? What about other things like hardness? If there's not enough understanding of the true nature of hardness, can it be object of awareness? So everything should be understood clearly before there can be condition for sati. At any time, it shows that actually everything is conditioned, even sati, unexpectedly. And it's not like be told by anyone. Just your understanding whether how much is there about any object. That's why we learn from the teaching, just to understand the way it's not self, by way of Patichasopata or Chatu or Ayatana or whatever. For Panya to develop by itself or by Sankhara Khandas, no one can do anything at all, because actually there's no one.
You said you were listening to a radio program about levels of sati and levels of kilesa, and you would like to mention more about it. Do you remember?
On the radio, you spoke about three different levels of kilesa or understanding, like the anusaya, the latent tendency that doesn't arise but conditions, akusala, and akusala citta, which arises, and the more coarse one, pariyutana kilesa.
The pariyutana is like now the ordinary attachment, and then the vitikama is the more coarse one, like when it's strong enough that one might steal or kill or something. Yeah, so these anusya, pariyutana, and then vitikama, the strong ones.
I just listened to those three levels. No special question.
And which one can be known?
Which one? Well, anusaya is very difficult because it doesn't arise. But akusala citta can be known by panya.
What level?
You spoke about all levels are the hindrances.
Yes, but when we talk about anusaya, it's not the kilesa which can be known, right?
Yeah, because it doesn't arise in conditions.
And when can it be known? And what else it cannot be known? Besides,
it can only be known when it conditions the akusala to arise. So, yeah, like, yeah. When it conditions.
Really by thinking, not by awareness.
Anusya cannot be known because it doesn't arise.
Yeah.
And what else which cannot be known, even it arises?
Everything is so much ignorance of everything.
But what?
What about the asavas or the subtle kilesa? They arise, but completely unknown.
Unknown.
What is that? When talk about anusya, it doesn't arise.
No.
But that which arises
asava.
Unknowingly.
Asava. But unknown is so subtle. It's so subtle after seeing now even. After hearing now even, there's asava, but we don't know.
That's why even it arises, it cannot be known.
It's so subtle and not
but
known.
The arahata has erased all kilesa, including asava, anusya.
So it's a kind of, the asava is a kind of pariyatana, so some of the ordinary kilesa that arise can't be known at all, the asavas, but others, like if the attachment is strong enough, like when one's eating, it's not yet of the level, it's not vitikama, it's not conditioning karma that can bring results, but it can be known.
It can be known, but take it for self all the time, does not really know the true nature of it. By thinking, it's always by thinking.
Can it be known?
It can be realized with very little, not really understanding much.
When one gets angry, one know?
My anger.
But my can it be known as
it can,
anger?
It can be known. But we take it for self all the time.
So there are many levels of akusala.
Yeah.
And who knows that only three moments of citta, after seeing, it must be kusala, akusala, which is asava,
Atava.
So when we talk about asava, we should know when and what asava, not all kind of akusala, only four kinds of asava.
Kama asava, avijja asava.
When does it arise? When does it arise?
Even now?
Yes, after saying three moments.
Yeah.
So how can anyone know?
Panya, when it is more developed, only that.
Can you remind me of the four asavas, four types of asava?
So the first one is
Pavasava.
Yes. And avijasava, ignorance. And the other one is Bhavasava, the other kinds of very subtle attachments. So three all refer to subtle attachments, one with wrong view, or the others without, and then ignorance. So it's right now completely unknown.
Mm. What are they again now?
Gamasava. To the sense objects?
No.
Yes.
And?
Vitasava.
Bhavasava.
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 What is that?
That's all kinds of subtle.
Not all.
No. Pardon? Lopa.
It's the subtle attachment, okay, not to sense objects,
okay,
but
okay,
to just
thank you.
Being now.
Okay, and avijjasava?
Yes, like even now.
Dittasava.
Dittasava. Dittasava. Which is wrong understanding.
Of all kilesa is avijjasava.
Avijjasava. Okay, so Bhavasava. Okay, that's the subtle attachment to being.
To being and
existence.
To becoming, to
okay.
Continuing.
Before okay. Having conditions for sati. See, there must be the words of the Buddhas which help one to understand it. Actually, there are so many, many reality uncountable. And once it arises, it's gone completely, never to return at all. To know that actually there's no self, no one, even listening to Dhamma.
And even the anagami who has no more
Kamasava,
no more attachment to sense objects, but still there's Bhavasava, still clinging to
becoming,
being,
yeah,
to becoming.
Yeah.
Only the arahat has no more.
Having such understanding, there is no expectation for sati. It can arise only when there are right conditions, unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
Can be now or any time by conditions.
Right now, Ajahn said that anusaya kilesa cannot be known.
At all.
Never?
Never. Because it doesn't arise.
So how can you eradicate it if you never become aware of it?
When panya is there and understand the truth of each reality as vipassanayana, then there's no more doubt. And misunderstanding of reality as wrong as I at all. Eradicate wrong view.
Right.
So that is Dittasava. Is also eradicated. And also Ditti, Anusaya, also eradicated.
Oh.
When one becomes Sotapanna. Because before coming to be Sotapanna, there must be the development of understanding from hearing, which can be conditioned for patipatti, and then from then on and on and on, until reality can appear to panya of different levels, as it's heard from the teachings of the Buddha right now, like seeing arises and falls away by conditions. Hearing arises by conditions. So panya arises by condition, sati arises by condition. These all bring to understanding of there is no one, no self at all. Stage by stage. Anytime, anywhere.
And it's the particular function of path consciousness at a time of enlightenment to eradicate the underlying tendencies that do not appear. This is described in the suttas.
And it's never you or I or anyone who eradicates them. It's the right understanding at that path moment that eradicates the anusyas stage by stage.
Yeah. But, I understand that part, that there's nobody. But the part that is still not clear is the part of that you eradicate something without having seen it. So how can you understand it if it has never appeared?
Because, for example, the latent tendency, the anusya of ditti, conditions the ditti to arise during a day,
right,
like we were talking about earlier. If there was not that anusya, that ditti wouldn't arise. And that ditti, which has been conditioned to arise because of that latent tendency, that ditti that arises can be known by panya, and the panya understands the more and more subtle degrees of that ditti which arises and appears. Until at the first stage of enlightenment, there's hardly a trace, there's no trace left of that ditti arising, and at that point the latent tendency is completely eradicated because of the accumulation of right understanding that has developed with the development of the path, and at that point it completely eradicated forever.
So you mean that...
So it's a gradual development.
So when you say that you see the subtle parts of ditti
more
and more, but it never comes to the point of seeing the anusaya, right? Of seeing ditti as anusaya, right?
Because the anusaya doesn't arise, so it's the...
Only
but by
conditions.
Understanding the most subtle kinds of ditti, it's clear that the anusya is still there until no more ditti arising,
and
at that point of path consciousness completely eradicated.
So you know, in a way we could say that you know that the anusaya is there because you can see the symptom, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like you know there's a tumor there because of the symptoms appearing in the body. In the same way, because ditti is arising, one knows that tendency is there, that latent tendency, even if it doesn't arise for a very long time. Like for an animal, no conditions for wrong view, because there's no thinking about going on retreats or trying to be aware of seeing, for example. So it may not appear for a very long time, but when understanding develops, the ditti arises and has to be known.
Could you repeat that again? Why did you say it may not be known for a long time? First you said something about going to retreats. I'm sorry, I didn't follow.
So now in a day,
yeah,
may not be any ditti arising now, so there are no conditions for understanding ditti. It can only be understood when it arises.
Right.
But when it appears, for example, if one is trying to let go or trying to understand sati or to have it, when it's that reality arises, it can be known at that moment.
Right.
So understanding can begin to know the characteristic of ditti, because it's leading to the wrong path. But if one has no interest in studying the teachings, no interest in thinking about the truth of life, there may not be conditions for ditti to arise or be known at all. Like a small child playing, no conditions for ditti to arise. But the anusya is still there. There is still the tendency, but no conditions for the ditti to arise. So it can't be understood
and it can't be eradicated.
I think I understand, but only the example you said about the child.
What I'm just saying is if ditti never arises, it can't be known.
Right, correct.
So actually, we should welcome it when it arises, because it can be understood right then and there.
Right.
But as Ajahn said, it's more and more subtle, more and more difficult. So more and more subtle degrees of ditti have to be known long before the latent tendency can be eradicated.
But somehow welcoming it sounds a little bit like desire, doesn't it?
It just means that usually we think we're happy when there is kusala moments arise, when there is metta or generosity. But actually in the development of the path, there has to be understanding with detachment from whatever appears. So when understanding arises, it doesn't matter what the object is, whether it's ditti or whether it's kindness or whether it's seeing or visible object. So understanding that whatever arises is conditioned is the way that there is naturally letting go, not minding what is the object of sati and understanding, because they're all just impermanent dharmas that don't last for an instant, nothing to be excited or agitated about.
Just to explain a bit further, by ditti or wrong view, we mean having a view about the way things are in reality. So just having the idea of me or you, for example, is not necessarily wrong view, because one is not holding a particular view of the reality of things at that time, just designating this as a table and that as a person is a conceptualization of what is being experienced through the sense doors. A child, for example, happily playing in the garden is just having a lot of attachment but doesn't formulate ideas about what is real or what is not real at the present moment. So that's why Sarah mentioned the child. And the same with an animal. If we think about it, we need to distinguish between actual wrong view and just the concepts of different objects, which is not a wrong view, it's just a labeling of the different experiences through the sense doors.
The wrong view would be if you take those labels as representing true objects, right?
It's really about a misconception of what is real at the present moment. So if we think, for example, that consciousness is continuous and in fact it's momentary, that would be a misconception. But if we just think there's a vase of flowers on the table, even though we attach a certain, shall I say, degree of reality to the object, it's not holding an idea of the way things are. There's a difference.
Or perhaps like a more crude example would be people who go to meditation centers and think that by doing what they do, they will have more sati. There's bound to be a lot of ditti there. They have this view that I, by doing this, will have more sati and will help me in the path. That is, will invariably mean strong ditti there.
Would that ditti be stronger than the person who never goes to a meditation center?
Probably, like in the case that Sarah mentioned, like a child, or Jonathan just mentioned before about people who, you know, talking about this and that, using these different labels. There's no strong idea that the misconception of reality, like, I think I know where you're going, but I'm trying to. So it's a wrong understanding of the nature of reality that, you know, when Sarah mentioned the child, you know, the child are just kind of blissfully unaware of the world. There's no strong view of themselves misconceiving the world. They're just having lots of fun and attachment and playing with their friends. And people do this too in daily life. You know, they share and talk with each other, and there doesn't have to be any wrong view at that time. So it's just a general banter and feeling of camaraderie that many people have, but there doesn't have to be ditti there. Like when the Buddha talked about his disciples, and he said, oh, here's, you know, these Brahmins are coming, referring to Ananda and Aruddha. He had this, he did, obviously didn't have wrong view, but he's referring conceptually to these people. So we do this all the time with the way we communicate with one another. Is that helpful?
Well, somehow I think that we have usually, if there's no understanding, there will be ditti always, right? So
there can be moments of understanding, and there can be moments of wrong understanding, and there can be moments that are neither right or wrong understanding. For example, when there's just attachment to what is being seen, that's it. It's just attachment.
But that attachment is based on understanding.
As I understand, if there's attachment, it's because there's wrong understanding of what is happening, right?
When the visible object is pleasant, there'll be attachment, regardless of any way that object is conceptualized. When food that is tasty is tasted, there's attachment.
But it's attachment if in that moment there's not knowing of the object as a reality, right? If the object is known as a reality, there will be no attachment to it.
No, but there could be attachment before and after the knowing of the object as a reality.
Yeah, but what I mean is that if there is right understanding at the moment, then that attachment cannot arise.
For a moment?
Yeah, of course, for a moment.
If there's any kind of kusala at the moment, then attachment can't arise either.
If there is kusala, attachment cannot arise?
At the same moment.
Yeah.
Yes. So understanding has its conditions, and attachment has its conditions, and they can arise intermingled, alternately. Different conditions, but attachment has been accumulated, and when the object is pleasant, attachment will arise according to one's accumulated tendency. But this is regardless of whether there's right or wrong view about the reality of the present moment.
Because there may not be,
doesn't have to be any view about the reality of the present moment.
In moments where there isn't any view about the present reality, nor is there any banya, that's just ignorance. Avijja.
Well, if there's no kusala,
right,
it could be other
kusala. That's true, yes. Okay, I see. Moments of dana and sila.
Tanajan, can you give some examples of quite subtle ditti, as opposed to, perhaps many of us are more aware of the more coarse varieties, but can you give us some examples of more subtle types of ditti?
Let's talk about reality just one moment at a time. Otherwise, we miss them all, because there are many levels of Dhamma. For example, at this moment of seeing, do you have to think that I see? But right at that moment, because there must be the asava. Avichasava is there. And the idea of self, as long as one hasn't been the sotapanna yet, there must be tittisva. But who knows? It passed very quickly. But it conditioned the stronger reality by many conditions. Like there can be wholesome moment, kusala moment, after that moment of asava, or there can be akusala, who knows. They are conditioned by the anusthya and other pachya. So if we talk about just one moment of a reality, we do not talk about just seeing, because there must be citta which follows. They are vipaka, not any asava or whatever akusala appear, but who know at that moment it's there already. Just one moment, and then after seeing, then there can be akusala, which is asava, unknown, because now there are many, many vitichitta, which is kusala or akusala. So when we talk about just one moment at a time, it is that which we can understand it. As long as sotapati, yang maka, does not arise yet, even you don't say that I see, the I is there. So that's why when Panya reached the degree of enlightenment, even after seeing, there's no asava, which is tittasava, but there still can be the kamasava, avishasava, because only some part of it which arises with the lay people, which is not the sotapanna yet, can have that. So we cannot understand that which that is not known, because it's so fast and so very little as asava. But after that, when it keeps on seeing and seeing, see more and more, one can see only that which is appeared like akusala. Now, does it appear? The asava, which is lopa, does not appear. The avishasava does not appear. And even right now, when it's not anusaya, when it's not asava, but still it does not appear. Only panya can understand that. So we can see that the way to eradicate defilements must be so far away. Not like going somewhere, doing something, thinking about pariyati, and then it can be ariyasatta. It's impossible. Only understanding can understand better and deeper until it can see that which appears now as it is, as not self. Little by little. And no need to say that it appears as not self, that is thinking again. So it's a very, very subtle to understand that only understanding can eradicate the anusya, because the development of the path is to eradicate anusya. Otherwise there must be conditions for any kind of akusala. Like one is blind before one can have the doctor which can cure that person and become not blind. It takes a long time from life to life, because it is the understanding of the true nature of what appears now, just one characteristic only. But now there are so many, many different moments of arising and falling away of everything, uncountable, which covers up the truth of now there's no one, there are only citta, citta-sika and rupa. So it's not like a plaything to become this or that by doing this and that at all. That's why the meditation center destroyed the teachings of the Buddha.
Say wrong ideas about the practice involve wrong idea of self. And similarly, even just the thought, if only I had more understanding, or if only I lived in a different place, if only I had more access to hearing the teachings, this sort of thing. All this is some level of wrong view. because it's an idea that the conditions for understanding can be somehow created. I wish I had more understanding.
Or I better spend more time listening, or I better spend more time studying. It can be there. It's the idea of I can do, I can control, not understanding at this moment.
And one is trapped by avijja and lobha, not understanding the true nature of reality right now, just from hearing pariyatti. Otherwise, there must be expectation for having sati.
Tanajan, this area of when we read in the suttas, I've just been doing a sutta recently, and Sariputta asked the Buddha a question about correct behavior, correct practice, if you like. And the Buddha talked about certain qualities, qualities like like being, shall we say, impatient, bossy, imperious, how these don't help in the development of panya. And we know that when there is a kusala, there is no understanding at those moments. But it seems to be strongly indicated in the sutta that certain modes of behavior don't help, and that the wise refrain from acting and speaking in certain ways, by conditions, of course. So I'm conscious of this being rather a long question, but I'm trying to ask here that, and when I think of Kundina's book on the paramis, and when we consider the Buddha's teachings about the putting away of akusala, how that is detrimental to the path. Do you know what I'm trying to say here, Ajahn, about development of the path? Yes, I've heard Jonathan just talking about, or and Sarah to a certain extent, if this was the case. And certainly we can know that that can be ditti, but there are times too that the more understanding there is, there will be more conditions for kusala, and they should be developed. Do you understand what I'm trying to say, Ajahn?
I understand that, because you think that while one is reading sutta, one have the idea of trying to have parami.
Mm.
No?
Trying to have more kusala.
Can I just add something?
Yes.
Before you... it seems to me that the qualities you mentioned are a hindrance to being able to listen to another. This is explanation of the Dhamma. So that is why those particular kinds of qualities are mentioned. Not because some akusala is more a hindrance than another to moments on a moment-to-moment basis, but because of the importance of association with the good friend and hearing the Dhamma and considering what one has heard.
And did the Buddha teach to do for understanding?
Always understanding, Ajahn.
So, it's not anyone who is doing anything right now.
Mm-hmm.
This must be kept from the very beginning. So one can read Abhidhamma, Sutta and Vinaya with understanding. Otherwise it's I, because the wrong understanding of reading Sutta is the idea of self, having the idea of self. It's the wrong way to read sutta. I am reading Buddha told about this to do, but no, to understand, just for understanding. For example, associate with good friends with a panya, who can know whether that is good friend or not?
What was the example you gave, Naja? A soldier, did you say?
Associating with a good friend, mm-hmm. without panya.
Mm-hmm.
How can you know mm-hmm. that person is good friend? So each word of the teachings of the Buddha brings about understanding. No one, no self at all. So no matter it says that abstaining from killing, it's not I. It must be viriti cetasika, and so on. He pointed out the truth of all realities for the reader to understand that actually there's no self and there's no one. So many people just follow the teaching with the idea of Buddha said this, keep company with a good friend, so on. But actually, there must be right understanding who is the good friend. You might think that that is a good friend. They tell you to letting go anything, akusala. But actually, those words are not good friend.
Sorry, John, you said letting go akusala. I'm not following you there quite.
It's like the example Nina gave before about cheating dharmas, because one says and one thinks, yes, it's just understanding that's important, but it's like one's trying to sneak back some idea of self, or letting go, or not having akusala, or having more metta in a day, for example. Actually, then, even though one knows that dharmas are anatta, but still there is the idea of there should be more sati, or how can I have more metta, or there should be letting go now of akusala. This is what she was referring to.
So subtle, and that's right.
And these are examples of more and more subtle ditti. That,
yeah, because we think we understand, but in fact we still hold on to ourselves.
Can we say then that anything we do or want to do, not anything we do, anything we want to do or we think we should do is, even at its subtlest forms, is a form of ditti. No, not conventionally. I mean, I want to go shopping. There's lopa there, but I don't think there's ditti there.
But unless they can study the teachings and understand better and better that even that is not self.
That's right. Even that is not self. But when I say, for instance, okay, I'm going to buy the groceries.
Not you.
It's not me.
At all. Until you understand what is there.
Yes.
And the idea of not me is there when there is the understanding of that moment.
When there's the understanding of that moment, but if there's no thinking about it.
It's not thinking. It's the understanding of reality. Otherwise you cannot understand that there's no self. If there's no understanding of our reality, naturally, it's still you.
So there's still ditti happening when I want to go shopping.
It depends on whether at moment there is the idea of me as I.
Okay,
permanent.
That's what I was trying to get at. Couldn't articulate. Okay. But if that idea is not there, then it's ignorance.
The meaning of letting go is that there, and when there is understanding of a reality, there is no thinking that I know or what is there, but it keeps on naturally mm-hmm. letting go by understanding mm-hmm. the other moment which follows. See?
by understanding the other moment which follows, can you...
Because you see that when there is understanding, there is not I, it's not you, it's not me, anyone. There is the understanding of the characteristic of a reality. If it's not the understanding of that reality, it's you. But when there is the understanding while you are shopping or doing whatever, there is the understanding of what it is as it is, not me. And there can be the idea that, oh, it's understanding of that reality. And waiting or expecting at the moment to be understood like that.
Mm.
And that is not the letting go of the object which arises. Because only one moment arises as the understanding the characteristic. And what about other characteristics?
Mm.
If there is thinking about you again, expecting again, it's not letting go. So the letting go is very natural. No expectation after that.
So if there is not the letting go and still some expectation, maybe it doesn't mean there is ditty or wrong view.
No.
Right.
Can you say that again, please?
So it doesn't mean there is ditty all the time when there is expectation or not letting go. It's not kusala, but it doesn't mean it is wrong view all the time.
It may be ordinary
attachment, just wishing, like thinking that, and wishing, wishing to have a nice meal or wishing to see some beautiful roses or something.
That ditty can sneak in very easily.
Can slip in too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like in this example that one Sundra gave, like, okay, when there's more understanding, usually kusala develops, but depending on accumulations, someone may develop understanding but still be very imperious or whatever the example. It depends on accumulations and tendencies. And if there's expecting it to be a certain way, then there can be ditty that it should be like this or that.
That's very difficult to
know. And the important thing is the understanding they're just dhammas, not belonging to me or anyone, not my personality or his or anything. They're just different dhammas that can be known.
So it's really difficult to know when there is ditti and when there is ordinary attachment. Maybe only panya can know.
Yes. And does it matter if it's not known now? Because otherwise it's clinging again.
Yeah.
So when it's time, it's known naturally, not because of clinging or trying to work it out or wishing to have it.
Yeah. So every time we mind, there is clinging, really.
Sure.
Yeah. No use, no use.
Yeah. Clinging to oneself.
Still not very clear for me when you talk about ordinary attachments and then ditti. Or when you talk about... ditti for developing dhamma or ditti in a conventional way? That's what you mentioned a little moment ago. So I still don't have that very clearly. If there would be, if it's a different kind of ditti wanting to go to a meditation center than the ditti that arises when you want to go shopping. When you feel that it's you who is going shopping, I just see it like it's the same kind of, it's just thinking that, it's just attaching to a self in both ways, so I see no difference between that.
So what is ditti as you understand it?
Well, it's just thinking that whatever you're doing, not really thinking, but actually feeling, even if you're not thinking about it or you're not being aware of it, you just have the feeling. We could say in an unconscious way that it is you who is doing whatever you're doing, right?
Say the distinction between the two examples you give is that one is seen as being connected with the development of understanding and the other is not. just following attachment or doing normal activities.
I think that when there is ditti in the development in your effort to develop understanding, right? I think you're just projecting what the same thing that you do in your daily life, like in the development of Dhamma, right?
According to my understanding of what the Buddha taught, there is a qualitative difference between the two.
Which is?
Well, one is just attachment, and one is connected with an idea of what reality is or how reality is to be better understood.
Right, yeah, I think I get it a little bit.
And that's why we connect wrong ideas about the practice with wrong view.
Which that would be like wrong ideas about the world in general, right? Which
well,
is different.
A wrong idea about the way things are in reality.
Exactly.
But so that whether you call that the world, it depends on your understanding of the world.
Things is the world, no? I mean about the five senses, whatever, right? I mean wrong understanding of realities, right? And but I mean, what's the difference between wrong understanding of realities and I mean when you go shopping the groceries is and you think it's you who is going shopping, then that means there's wrong understanding of realities.
Is there any idea while you shop that it's me who is shopping, or just shop?
Well, if you know that there's only shopping, then
everyone knows I'm shopping.
Everyone knows I'm shopping.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, what reality is there? It's not you. There must be citta, chetasika, and rupa.
Right.
So, at that moment, no you, no thinking that I'm shopping. But what is there, even right now?
Citta, chetasika, and rupa.
Right. So what is the purpose of listening to the teachings?
To remind you.
Of what?
That in the present moment there's just citta, chetasika, and rupa.
So what's the use?
Of reminding yourself? The use is to interpret reality in the right term, to understand correctly what is happening.
Only that. No matter what one is doing, the teachings which one has read and developed can understand that actually there is no one there. This is the point. There is no one, no self. There are only the absolute realities. And when you talk about the world, what is the world?
Buddha
taught about it as what? The world.
The world are the realities which are appearing to the senses.
Many people think like that. One lives in this world, see? But what is the reality, the meaning of this word? Because when one studies the teachings, there cannot be more understanding without study just one word at a time and understand that word so clear, no doubt about it anymore. So we can listen to the other word with more and more understanding. Because remember that what Buddha said, we can say, but the understanding is quite far apart. Like we use the word Dhamma, and Buddha said Dhamma. What about the Buddha's Panya and our understanding? Cannot be compared at all. So study carefully of each word in order to understand the great right understanding of Buddha, which said to us about this word. Each word, like the world. What is the world?
Right. So say that there's a difference between I am sitting here now, I am shopping, etc., and there exists an I, a self. These are quite different notions.
You know the word now? Just one word at a time.
For example, earlier when you said, when I asked you what ditti is, and you said, well, it's a kind of feeling, but it's not a feeling, it's the wrong understanding about reality at this moment. So it's not any kind of feeling. Feeling is just pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So ditti is not feeling, it's a mental factor which arises with attachment. And at that moment, it is the wrong understanding of what is real and true. But when one's shopping and one's thinking about whether to buy yellow roses or red roses or whether to buy cornflakes or muesli, there's no thinking about reality. So it's not wrong view at those moments. It's just attachment and ignorance. But now, if there is the idea that...
What do you have? Why do you have... You said it's not... When you're buying roses or muesli, is not thinking about realities. But why should you think about realities?
I'm saying that at those times, just like the example of the small children playing, there's no thinking about what is real, what is life at this moment, what is the path.
Why should there not be at the time of shopping roses or muesli? I mean, why?
While shopping and buying roses, if there is, because one has been discussing the Dharma, is if there is the thinking about what is reality and there is the idea that I can make sati arise, then ditti is there at that moment. But for most people, when they go shopping, they're not thinking about the meaning of life. So the point is ditti is a reality. It can only be known when it arises, when it appears.
The point of understanding that is so that detachment can be developed with the idea that this is not a me, a self, a being that is doing it. Yeah, the more the understanding arises, the more there's a detachment from the concept of the idea of a self.
That understanding can arise when you're shopping.
What?
That kind of understanding can arise when you're shopping cornflakes.
It can
arise
anywhere, anytime.
That's the point that I don't understand why.
Why it arises at any time?
Because Sarah is making a difference between thinking about realities and shopping roses. So that's what I don't understand.
There is a lot of accumulated wrong view, right? We all have accumulated wrong view. The question is whether it's arising or not. Because when it's not arising, it's latent. We all have lots of attachment for different things, but attachment arises from time to time, different objects, certain objects. The other time, a lot of attachment, it doesn't arise, it remains latent. So what we're discussing is not whether we have a lot of wrong view of self or not, but when does it arise? Our life may be guided by a wrong view of self a lot. Yes, yes. But it doesn't always manifest.
So there can be awareness now or when shopping, there can be wrong view now or when shopping. But the question was, when shopping, isn't someone thought there's wrong view all the time, but there may not be any wrong view while shopping. It just depends on conditions and accumulations. If one has never thought or considered about the truth of life, just no conditions for ditti to arise.
So you mean that while shopping, when you say there might be no wrong view, that means wrong view manifested not like a latent tendency, right? Because the latent tendency is there all the time. So you, when you say there might be no wrong view,
no,
that
there
means
may not be any conditions
any coarse,
for it to manifest.
Any coarse wrong view, that's what you mean, right? Yes.
Or even subtle wrong view may or may not be, it depends.
But John just said that that subtle wrong view, that means anusaya or asawa, is always guiding you. That means
the anusaya is the latent tendency.
But it's always guiding you,
but
right?
But it's not the subtle kilesa arising.
Oh, okay, right. Which one would be the subtle one?
So there is the latent kilesa, and then we talked about the asavas, which is the very subtle defilements arising.
Oh, I see.
And then the ordinary,
the coarse one, right?
The coarse ones that can be known now, like when
right.
there's strong attachment for taste or smell or visible object that can be known now. And then there's the very gross one that can condition karma, that can bring result.
Right.
I appreciated what Jonathan was saying before about the latent tendencies being qualitatively different. Oh, sorry, the ditti, its manifestation, is being qualitatively different. Like, for example, a bird, they're flying around. I'm sure they know they can see other birds and the like. But
they know which is their nest and which is
their
bee.
There doesn't have to be, there won't be any ditti there, and they're just doing that. You know, they know others, their friends and all their other.
But there wouldn't be ditti.
No. Well, it's there by way of the anusya, by way of the tendency, not necessarily in that life, but it's there. But it won't manifest, very unlikely, in a bird to have ditti.
Somehow I think it's important to say, when you say that there will be no ditti, to say that there will be no ditti in a coarse manifestation of ditti, right? But ditti is always there in a latent sense.
It's there, latently, but it won't arise in the case of a bird. We can say that, I believe, quite safely.
Not coarse, not subtle, but latent.
Yes.
So there are those three gradations. Latent means not arising at all.
Just dormant.
Yeah, like a volcano. Like
the
just
bird,
dormant. It's not there.
Never wonders about why they're existing.
It's not there because it's there.
Yes, I think, so the bird, he won't philosophically cogitate about the meaning of life and all these things. They don't do that. So they will just be enjoying their life as much as they can, but they won't, and the anusya of ditti will be there, but it won't arise. Like Kunina said, like the volcano, you know, it just won't arise. There are no conditions for ditti to arise. No conditions for it to arise.
So they want to live, and they want to enjoy life, and they want to protect what they possess, all those things, but they don't give any consideration to what is real in what we might call a philosophical sense.
And they don't do that because they can't do that.
They can't do that. That's their nature at that time in that realm of a bird.
I'm still confused about having an idea of self and pondering about philosophical questions or the way things are. I don't see that. I still don't see. When we were talking about ditti, I thought we were talking about the idea of self.
So it has to come back to this moment because this is the only time it can be understood. Like now, there is seeing. Is there the idea, I can see, I see? When there's the idea, I see now.
Yes, there is.
Ditti at that moment, and it can be known. If it doesn't arise now, it can't be known. Like, what is seen now? Is it just visible objects seen now? Or is there the idea that seeing sees something, roses and people, at that moment when there's the idea that it is something seen, not just what is visible at this moment, there is the idea of utter, of something. So that is
something is seeing, right?
When it's something that's seen, when it's not just what is visible that's seen. And we're saying we're not just talking about conventionally. We all know conventionally we see roses and people, just like we all go to the supermarket in conventional language. But when there's the real idea at this moment that what is seen is something, someone,
right,
that is ataditi, and it can be known now.
So I think when you firmly believe, then it's ditti.
It's a firm belief.
The understanding.
But a passing moment, a quick passing moment of some idea that of unknowing, not knowing, it's not really ditti, I think.
No, I don't think so at all. I think it can be, I think it can be quite subtle. I think I can appreciate your dilemma, because we're talking here now and we're with our friends and we can have the idea of, I see my friends. That doesn't have to be ditti. I'm with my friend. That doesn't at all. And somebody else saying that, there may be ditti. So it's going to depend on, and I think what Sarah said is a really good point, to come back to present moment. Ultimately, only panya will know this, but we can develop the intellectual understanding, the pariyatti, if you like, to begin to appreciate that there doesn't have to be ditti all the time. And in a philosophical sense, it may not be there even when people start to think about this or that, but I think it's very subtle, and I don't think that it becomes clear just all of a sudden. I think it's something that needs to be attended to with wisdom, with right understanding. It takes time, and I think Ajahn has always been reminding us about the great patience that's needed to understand, sometimes not even intellectually, but certainly at the level of panya, it takes great patience. And it doesn't happen like now. It happens over time.
Nina, when it's not just the conventional idea of I'm seeing roses, but when there is the wrong idea, the wrong understanding at this moment, that it's something seen, someone seen, even however briefly, that is ditti at that moment, that can be known now. It doesn't matter how brief it is, it can be very brief. So when you say, it's just only a brief idea, or that it's something, but ditti is so brief, it's just a moment.
Yeah. And it's going to be just ignorance, but not really ditti, but just ignorance, moments of ignorance.
But when it's ignorance, there's no wrong idea, no wrong understanding at that moment, it's just not knowing. Yeah. So it's different. When it's the wrong idea, wrong understanding, it can be very subtle and very brief.
Yeah, and really, like Ajahn always says, only panya can know.
Yes.
No. Because we try to find out now at this moment, but that's not the way.
At that moment of trying to find out, that can be wrong understanding too, because it's the idea that I can find out. Yeah. So this shows how quickly it can come in.
Do you think that you can understand the teachings of the Buddha just by reading many words at a time? Not at all. For example, what is the world? Even very simple question, because we use the word many, many times in our life. So it's like the test whether that is the understanding, perfect understanding of what it's taught, word by word, just one word at a time. If there is the understanding of the world, you know, not by yourself, but by the Buddha's word, what is the world? this is the very beginning of paying so much respect to each word of the Buddha that we cannot imagine, we cannot have right understanding by our own thinking. Otherwise, we would be the Buddha as oneself. So what is the world? It's in the Tripitaka.
Yes, what is seen now is the world now. What is heard now, one world at a time.
What else? No. Not that. But the understanding of the world.
What is the understanding of the world?
The world. Is this a world? It's now the world. So what is it?
Whatever arises, that's the world?
Yes. So if nothing arises at all, can there be the world? Not at all.
No, not at all.
So the world is that which arises and falls away. And that which is not the world, loka and lokutara, beyond the world, is nibbana. Because it does not arise, so it cannot fall away. Nothing at all. The end of the arising and falling away is the meaning of nibbana. Because no attachment, no avijja at all, eradicated completely, including asava and other moment of kilesa. Because when we talk about the animal and people, what is the difference? They are citta, cetasika, and rupa, and here is also citta, cetasika, and rupa, without the shape and form of the rupa, which arises, which is the nimitta of the arising and falling away of our reality at a time. They cannot be known at all, whether it's dog or cat or bird or human being, without rupa. Seeing is seeing itself. Hearing is hearing. Seeing cannot be anyone because it's conditioned to arise. Without the eyes and the thing which impinge on it, and the karma which condition what vipaka result can arise to see it. When the object is unpleasant, only the unwholesome akusala karma can condition that moment, and we cannot know from what life, how long. But still, it can condition such moment in this life. So the world is the moment of arising and falling away of our reality. Whatever arises, ignorance is there. Not knowing the characteristic of it, but by not knowing there is attachment with it as something by shape and form and idea and everything. So we better study the teachings of the Buddha carefully. Just one word at a time. So there wouldn't be any wrong understanding because one knows that no one can condition seeing right now. We talk on Dhamma, but seeing sees all the time. No one makes it right at all. But it's there by conditions. Very, very quickly mixed the world to be like people and things all the time. The world is the arising and falling away of each reality. And talking about the whether at moment of seeing arose, can it be titi or not? If we study about the asava, there are four, the avichasava and the pavasava, kamasava and titti. We can talk about it not in order because we cannot make it arise in order. But we understand what is what and what is true. So for the dog, cat, it sees and we see. What is different? The accumulation of no understanding which is avichasava. See? Not avichasava. Vichanusaye, But avishasava prava, it's there. Not understanding that which is there. For anyone who does not know the truth, there can be avicha without wrong understanding. But when we talk about the truth, we have different understanding. What is wrong and what is right is titi or no titi. And that's why titi is opposite of wrong understanding, is opposite of right understanding. But they are not anyone at all, just arise by conditions. So that's why Buddha thought about many, many paccaya, the last book of Abhidhamma. When we are very careful and study and consider on and on and on and understand it better and better, we can understand that there's no self at all. More confidence, as Sapa Prinya understand whatever appears as Dhamma. And this can condition sati patthana. So it's wrong to just talk about it without understanding the characteristic of satipatthana. We use just the word satipatthana, but how can there be understanding of it as not general satipatthana, which is not as general sati, which is not satipatthana. So at this moment of understanding, sati does not appear. Not all realities appear, but only some appear at a time. Even citta before seeing does not appear. And the citta which arises before the moment of that which arises before seeing does not appear at all. And after the seeing, only one moment, the next moment does not appear, the other moment does not appear. Only 3 moments after that, it conditioned the akusala citta. If there is no wrong understanding, it can be only moha, mula citta, 2 of them, that's all. And when there is doubt, it's not anyone at all, it's only moha, mula citta, with doubt, no one. But when there's no doubt, without doubt, who can know the moment of lopa mula citta, the moha mula citta, which is there right now. When there's no lopa, when there's no ditti, when there's no mana, it's still attached, it's still citta with avicca, moha mula citta, only 2 moha mula citta. With doubt or without doubt. This is the world. Each one which arises and falls away is the world, opposite of Lokutra, beyond the world. No rising and falling away at all. That's why better study each word with understanding. Only when it's not clear, not enough. Just study until it's clear. No doubt about it. For example, at moment of understanding, there is sati, but not satipatthana. So what is the difference? And how can it arise? It can arise when there are right conditions, right time. No one can make it arise. Like Sariputta didn't realize that he would see Asachi and even listen only, he can be Sotapanna. He could be. See, all by conditions at all. By understanding this better and better, it's more confidence on no one at all. And this is only Pariyati, while Satipatthana does not arise yet. So one can understand satipatthana only when it arises. But people can talk about satipatthana, concentration on breath or on whatever, but they do not understand the characteristic of satipatthana, or even the sati, which is not satipatthana. They cannot understand that. So one can see the great understanding of the Buddha. It's like just put the, what you call the mosquito beak or what, which bite. The mosquito. It bite us,
yes.
But instead of biting us, it bite the ocean. This is our panya compared with the ocean of the Buddha's panya. What do you call that? The mosquito has a needle or
yes,
what?
Right. Proboscis.
What? What you?
Like it's like a proboscis.
The spike. Just touch the ocean. That is the understanding of anyone who begin to understand. So no one can understand the great wisdom of the Buddha. Uncomparable. So study each word, and it will bring the understanding of other word, and other word, and another word. That's why the refuge is the Buddha, and also the Dhamma after his passing away, and the Sangha. The three gems.
Probe, that's what it means, yeah, a probe. So, Ajahn, just this aspect of sati that's not satipatthana, can you talk to a little about that just for a moment? Sati that's not satipatthana.
How many jitasikas are there?
52.
How many can appear now?
Even
right now?
Maximum 26, is it?
There must be sanya, but no one knows.
Yes.
The sanya now, at moment of hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And no one knows, not now, some can know.
Mm-hmm.
The vedana feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Even there is vedana with each citta, it's not known. It does not appear. So it doesn't mean that all 52 jetasika can appear to anyone. Only those who develop understanding and never think to select anyone to appear.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no set object for awareness to arise, like breathing or on and on, like they are doing all around the world.
So, Sundara, first of all, as you know, sati arises in any kind of kusala. So when it's any kusala which is not the vipassana bhavana, which is not the development of the understanding of realities, sati is there. Moments of kindness, moments of generosity, moments of samatha bhavana, sati is there. And when we're talking about the development of understanding leading to the path, when we're talking about pariyatti understanding, sati is there, but it's not satipatthana. So only when it is patipati degree of understanding conditioned by that pariyatti is it sati of the level of satipatthana. So if we, for example, if we're talking about pariyatti, like now we're talking about realities, we're talking about what is ditti, what is visible object, this is pariyatti understanding. When it's patipati understanding, it's the direct understanding of reality, and that is satipatthana. So it's conditioned by that pariyatti understanding. So sati arises with each moment of kusala. So at that moment, at those moments of right intellectual understanding, sati is there, but it's not satipatthana when it's not the direct understanding of realities. And without the development of satipatthana, there cannot be the sati of the degree of vipassana jnana, for example. Comparing the bite of a mosquito on the hand compared to a bite in the ocean.
Such a difference.
Such a big difference. So, like, one moment of panya now and panya in the ocean.
Yeah, yeah. But the sati of the other levels that we talked about, sati of hearing,
now what we do now, it can condition later on satipatthana or direct awareness, but we never know when, so we don't think much about when, but we know it will be. Right, yeah, of hearing the right Dhamma, like this morning. But we never know when it will condition the direct awareness of Nama and Rupa.
When you say sati of hearing, are you meaning
listening and considering?
Okay, so
not
you're talking
just hearing, but we consider really through each word by word.
But for example, if one listens to a radio program for 1 hour and one's listening in conventionally, one cannot say there's sati all that time, just like now, only at the kusala moments.
Yeah.
Most of the moments, no kusala, no considering or understanding. Like moments of being disturbed by the noise or moments or thinking about what one's having for lunch, or most of the time, no. We cannot say that listening means there is sati in that sense. Listening has to be just the occasional moments of understanding.
Right, considering.
Yes. Like moments of doubt now. Talking about sati, moments of doubt or moments of wishing or moments of annoyance or disturbance, no sati at all. Moments of seeing, moments of hearing, no sati.